This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we have just witnessed the inauguration, the second inauguration of Donald Trump, what is to become of us? It's no doubt that women of color-led organizations have been making all the difference in the last few election cycles and made the difference in this last one. A lot of questions about that. But which way forward? Or as Dr. King would ask, where do we go from here? So here, two individuals representing two women of color-led organizations are with us to have this conversation. We are joined today by Maria Perez, who is the executive director of Democracy Rising and the co-founder. And also, we are joined by Muthoni Wambu-Crawl, who is co-founder and executive director of the Women's Democracy Lab. Welcome to you both. Welcome to Make It Plain. How are you?
Hanging in there. Thanks for having us today.
Doing as best we can, huh? Lord have mercy.
Walking by faith and not by sight, surely.
did you all participate in any of the marches inaugural weekend?
No.
No, sir. Mm-mm.
So I have to ask, because there were, you know, there were a lot of women in color who were like, no. Mm-hmm. Especially since some of the call came from white women-led organizations. Was that the posture you all took? Was that your lack of participation? That plus, you know, folks just said, you know, we need to regroup. We need to figure things out. We don't need to hit the streets prematurely without a plan. Why is it? Were those any of the reasons that went into you all's decision not to participate?
I'll leave Muthoni answer for herself on this. My decision not to participate, for one thing, I live in the state of New Mexico. So, you know, we're not in the midst of all that kind of marching activity as much as folks who are based in Washington, D.C. But for me, there is something that makes people feel good about participating in a march. There is something that makes you feel like you belong to something. But let's get real. Showing up for a march is not the resistance, right? We need to take more strategic action than just to be irate and show up in a march. All the power to the people who feel like they, you know, that's how they can show up. But in the way that we are doing the work, Muthoni and I think that there's, we're thinking about it much more strategically than getting mobilized for one day of action.
Sure.
Yeah, I will just say that on behalf of Women's Democracy Lab, where 100% of our time is spent working with elected women of color, that I think many of them were reflecting the feelings of their community, and that they have work to do coming back into their legislatures. They have work to do as mayors. They have work to do, frankly, to be prepared for what's coming down, and what they knew that this president had already come into the administration saying that he was going to do on day one in terms of executive orders. And recognizing that when you don't have the energy of the community going into marching, and if you don't have if you recognize that time is precious right now in terms of being able to protect the folks that you have to protect, given the expected reach of these executive orders and the extremism that could be contained in them and that we did see contained in them, many of them were preparing to be at work today. And I think that Maria and I were preparing to be at work today. Mm-hmm. And we are preparing to do the work of supporting these women.
Yeah, that's very important. So what, Maria, I go back to you. Where do we go from here? Where are we? What are some of the things Democracy Rising is working on? We've seen what's just happened in his moments after he was inaugurated. He has, I don't know if anybody's surprised, he has gone buck wild. He has rescinded practically every Biden administration executive order that has anything to do with anything positive for women, people of color, climate, everything under the sun. He has released all of the January 6 people. And some of them are saying they are preparing to wage violence against us. Where are we, Maria? And where is Democracy Rising? Where can you lead us? How can you help us? Lord have mercy.
That is the question of the moment. Democracy Rising is an organization that works directly with leaders working in their local communities to transform and reimagine democracy at the local level. So this is what we do. To answer your question, Mark, I think everybody has a role to play right now. I'm going to leave it to the lawyers to address all the ways in which our laws are getting broken and our constitutional norms are being trampled upon. I am not a lawyer. That is not my job. I'm going to leave it to the policy folks to fight every policy fight that can be fought at, you know, particularly the local and the state levels. We are not a policy or advocacy organization. There's folks who do that work. I think it's really important that all of us realize that we can't all be following all the craziness, because that is what breaks us down, right? Each of us has to concentrate on the things that we are good at and that we can do, and stay in our lane and trust that other folks are going to be doing that in their lanes. That's the only way we get out of this. Where we're at now, I think that, you know, I was talking to Mathoni about this yesterday. I feel like there's been many times in my life where I felt that we just need to burn this thing down, right? Like the rot of this, what Bell Hooks talks about, the imperialist, white supremacist, colonialist patriarchy, that's been from the case from the founding of this republic. That's the foundation of our constitution, of our governance, of our history from the beginning. It's still the case now. I don't feel like we need to burn it down at this point. I've gotten much more constructive in my life. But I do see right now that it is being burnt down by itself as we watch it. And I just don't think we need to try to save it. It's run to the core. Our job now is to build, prepare for what comes next, and get busy working on building that. There is a teaching, if anybody has done martial arts, when you're preparing to break a board, your teacher tells you to imagine your fist already on the other side of that board. Otherwise, you're just going to hit that resistance of that board and it's going to hurt and you're not going to get to the other side. Our job right now is to imagine ourselves on the other side of this, much like that analogy with the martial arts training, and start building what comes after, what we're going to build after they get busy burning this thing down, because this is what they're doing.
Yeah. Mathoni, what about you? What's Women's Democracy Lab? What are you on? As I said, you said you're working with elected officials.
Yeah.
So these are women that are literally on the front line going to try to block some of this, but
I absolutely am. They are the ones who cried out and said, I can't have Black women sitting down. I need them with me. And I think the good news is that the 92% will be with her. They will be with the righteous. The 92% are sitting down and sitting out from things that are time wasters and have decided at this point to use a lot more critical thinking and to be a lot more judicious at this hour and to trust and verify in terms of how I think that a lot of the labor that it goes into elections and that goes into everyday advocacy is going to take place. So the way that Women's Democracy Lab has been preparing for this moment, just in case, has been the way that we are already constructed, which is to we are built as a home and a community of support for these elected women of color whose lives have often been hell in the institutions that they are serving in. To Maria's point, you know, so many of us are working inside of something that has already been designed. And so coming into, you know, building these pipelines I've been a part of for over two decades, working on the electoral side of things, I've been the one fighting to diversify our electoral spaces, whether it is state legislatures, city councils, mayoral, all the way up to the Senate and the House, and certainly the presidency. But the tough thing is, and why we came along, is that once these barrier breakers got in there, they were like, where the hell did everybody go? Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I've been elected. I'm breaking barriers. I'm doing the thing. But where is my support system? This place is hostile. It is hard. Yeah. And they don't all want me here. And so, you know, and I don't have a blueprint. I am trying to figure this out. There are things that finally started to get built on the campaigning and electing side that still need to be built on the governing and support side. And so in a time like this, what we are doing, number one, is fortifying our women and making sure that we are building resources around them, whether it is information on how they build safety plans, because let's be clear, they were already experiencing heightened incidents of threats, and we are all seeing politics and political violence becoming normalized as a way of dissent. And what we've had to do is come in and really start to work not only with them, but with their colleagues, because oftentimes men and women will experience safety differently. And the convincing work that is needed to be done in these traditional institutions around how do we help keep one another safe has been a load that a lot of our women have individually had to carry and have not necessarily had the support of something that is a little larger than themselves to help create this as a priority inside of these institutions. So that's number one. We've been focusing on their safety and security and starting to build up a lot more buy-in around the necessity of that. The second thing that we are doing is helping to ensure that networks like ours and Democracy Rising, that we are working closely together and that no resource is being wasted in building walls around these women in terms of spaces for them to come and breathe. They are going to be carrying a lot of tragedy, frankly. They will be carrying a lot of solutioning, things that fall outside of the job description of the thing that they were even elected to do. They will be sitting in dog catcher and still figuring out how to keep people from being deported and families torn apart. That is the nature of who our women are and how they show up in their jobs. They do three times the job. And so making sure that we are fortifying them and having resources available for them to do thinking outside of the, you know, institutions that they are in, allowing them to dream beyond the, you know, the emergencies that many of them will be helping to solve for, is a big part of what we will be doing at WDL. And I know that groups like Democracy Rising will be doing. And then lastly, what I will say is that we are here helping to build them into the center of democracy itself. They have been existing on the margins. This point, you know, we've seen this before as people of color, as communities of color, and people who understand how racism works, that oftentimes the best times for us to be able to move things forward are when it's all falling apart. And so finding the opportunity right now to reposition our women and their place and their voice in our democracy is a big part of what we are doing. And we are doing that together again in partnership with folks like Maria.
Yeah, that's all of this is so important. Maria, I want to go a little bit further into some of the things you said, preparing for what's on the other side. And it's difficult to dispute your analysis that some of these folks are prepared to burn the whole thing down. It is my position that is precisely what his job is, what his role is. That's what foreign agents do. There's more than one way to infiltrate or undermine another nation. You send an agent in to be its leader. And that's not y'all saying that. That's me saying that, y'all. Everybody knows my position on that. All of this is the behavior of someone who's here to scuttle this If anyone else, if Maria did it, or Mathoni was behaving in this way, they'd be charged. I'd be charged. You know, if they would, you know, we wouldn't even get near that. But he's able to do what he does. So how does that work, Maria? How patient are we? How do we build while this is happening all around us? What is the other side? How close is it? When do we get to it? Is there a chance we'll even get there? My friend Joy Reid has already said, this is pretty much the end of politics in America. When I watched the inauguration, I decided this may very well be the end of America. And literally at this moment, people are about to get rounded up to be forcibly removed from this country, people that look like us. So talk to us about what exactly are the ways in which Democracy Rising is preparing to either prepare for the other side or to intervene in this moment.
Yes, I think that, like I was saying before, we each have a role to play, and we can't all be preoccupied with all the ways in which this is burning down and in which this our institutions, our democracy, our communities are being undermined. If we get busy with that, we won't be doing any proactive, creative work. I think that democracy is a creative endeavor, right? We try to sell it as a democracy, as a commodity. Right. And that's the conversation that we've been having over this last election cycle during the campaign is we're going to lose our democracy. This might be the last election we have, and positioning democracy as a commodity that we can either get or lose. And I think that's a fallacy. I think that we need to switch the way we think about democracy as a creative endeavor. We need a democratic imagination. What does it mean? What do we want our world to look like in this multiracial, pluralistic society that we live in? What does it look like for us to come together to make decisions collectively for the common good? What does we the people really mean for us at this juncture? And that is the work that is ahead for us. Women of color have been the frontline defenders of democracy forever in this country, right? From the beginning of time. We have not had access to power, to resources, to decision-making, but we've been holding the line in our neighborhoods, in our families, making sure that everybody's kids are doing well, not just our kids, but everybody's kids, making sure that there is a common good. So that is what we need to Mathoni's point, and what Democracy Rising is doing as well, is supporting the leaders who are thinking of democracy as a creative endeavor and are thinking of what is possible, what we want, how we want the world to be, how we want our democracy to function, despite the fact of what our, you know, situation is right now. I hear Joy Reid when she says, you know, our politics are over, our democracy is over. Maybe so, but which democracy are we talking about? It's the one that I was talking about before that was founded 250 years ago, based on greed, based on white supremacy, based on imperialism. Is that the democracy that we want to bring forward? Is that what we want to preserve, or like, you know, patch up and like duct tape a little bit and like reposition in 4 years as something that is what we want to keep moving forward as our goal? And to me, that is not. So I think maybe it's the end of democracy as we have known it for the last 250 years. And that actually creates an opportunity. We can build something that is truly inclusive, that is truly brings together, you know, concepts and models of collaborative governance, of democratic imagination, of people actually knowing how to talk to their neighbors and have disagreements without feeling like you got to shoot somebody, right? That is the democratic culture that we need to build in these difficult times, so that whenever it's time for us to stand up and, you know, come out and build what needs to be building, we have that democratic muscle, if you will, at the local level in our communities with these leaders that we work with.
Yeah.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And ultimately, anything we must do has to begin locally. And obviously, Muthoni, a lot of the elected officials you're working with are at the local level. I have to remind people, you know, we focus on Washington, but many of the decisions that affect people's everyday lives happen at the local level. That's why we need to vote at the state and local level. That has to be of equal import and priority. We've got to support those elected officials and hold those accountable at the elected and local level. But I throw the same question to you, Muthoni. What would you encourage our listeners to do to support your work of supporting women leaders and elected officials at this perilous hour?
Thank you. I'm going to pull directly from one of my elected women who sits on a city council where she came in, again, breaking a barrier. She was she was the youngest woman ever elected on her city council. And one of the few Latinas on that council. And what she saw happen is that there was energy at the beginning and then there wasn't. But energy on the other side in the more conservative camps continued to grow. Energy in the progressive side started to wane. When the victory happens, then we sort of step back. And that they've just begun to fight at that point. Women like that need more of us showing up literally at the meetings, literally need us to come to the city council meetings, literally need to see a friendly face, need us to stand with them during these tough votes, need us to pay attention and to get involved at the hyper-local level, need us to really and truly walk doors with them when they are going to be trying to get reelected in times where there may be a leadership that has now set forward a mandate for being able to take revenge on your enemies, however you may construe that. And so our physical involvement in our politics right now is incredibly important, which is why I hope people rested. I hope that they saved energy and didn't put it into a march and are rather starting to save up for the long haul here, and that we start to change our entire way of looking at what does it mean for us to be engaged in our politics. It is not a quick hit. There is a consistency about it. And that is, you know, part of why it's been sad to see in some ways the separation. I think that there was a lot of example in many churches around organizing and where church represented community. I came out of Abyssinian Baptist Church up in Harlem. One of the reasons why I was so attracted to that church from the outset was because we had a political point of view and we saw our service, we saw our religious service as a part of our political service to be in service to our religious service. We saw that as a part of our entire sort of ethical being. And what we have seen since the pandemic, I think, brother, is that people's social construct has totally changed. We need us to get out the house again and to get back out again and to really start to see that you can find beautiful community in doing this political work.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. No, you're absolutely right. We must get back to that. That is absolutely critical. And, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Dr. King showed us the way.
Indeed.
And we, you know, a lot of us want to think we've got the answer started from scratch, but he showed us the way. Maria, I'd be remiss. There is one issue, one particular house that is burning. And I just want to be clear on what Democracy Rising's position is. As I alluded to earlier, he is going to go after everyone who is not born here in this nation. And actually now is saying he wants to nullify the 14th Amendment. I don't know you could do that. But with this court, who knows? Wouldn't it be some of the Supreme Court reconsider the 14th Amendment? Lord have mercy. So, Maria, what say you on that question and those in the community you serve who are immigrants, who have born children even in this country, as those groups are targeted, what are Democracy Rising's plans?
So, Mark, I am an immigrant in this country. I'm a naturalized citizen. So this affects, you know, me directly and many of the women that we work with. And we work with elected officials and non-elected leaders in communities. And I think, you know, what we need to do right now and what we've been preparing for the last couple of years, frankly, seeing what's coming is twofold, right? One is the immediate response, which is about harm reduction. And that depends on whatever community you're working in, right? Like, is there a lot of immigrants in your community? Are there, you know, like, who's working at the school board level? How do we keep our kids protected, right? There's been threats of having raids in elementary schools, for example. There's like the horrific just attack on our communities. Number one role that we need to fill, that we need to step up for, is harm reduction. How do we keep our community safe? How do we keep our people protected? And those are things that there's not a blanket answer on how to do that, but we must keep in conversation, right? Our leaders keep in conversation with each other. We are experimenting with cross-pollination so that we can have broader conversations with leaders in other organizations like Women's Democracy Lab. What are people doing in their communities? What's working? What's not working? Rapid response, harm reduction is number one. And that is the first thing we need to do, because if we can't protect our people, you know, it is all lost. Simultaneously, though, we do need to start thinking about what is it that we want on the other side of this, despite the fact that things are the way they are right now. Otherwise, we are also lost. So, you know, we in Democracy, at Democracy Rising, we connect our leaders who are working in different communities so that they can troubleshoot, share best practices, share what they're seeing in their communities, like quickly, right? Rapid response stuff. How people are rebuilding up their mutual aid networks, right? That emerged organically during COVID and quite effectively in some communities. Are people able to do that right now? How are they thinking about doing it now? Because the protections that we need are a little bit different than they were during COVID in terms of who's at risk, right? That's a big part of what we're doing. But like I said, the other part of what we're doing is really creating the spaces where we can have this intellectual imagination and a democratic imagination about what comes next. We need to figure out what it is that we're working towards, not just what we're fighting against right now.
In closing, lastly, Maria, what for those listening, for our audience, how would you like them to get involved? How would you invite them to join Democracy Rising? And I'll ask the same of you, Mathoni.
I mean, if you are interested in our work, please visit our website. There's www.wearedemocracyrising.org. There's ways that you can tap in there. Of course, we always are looking for more resources. So if you feel like you have, financial resources to donate, please do so. But more than that, more than really engaging specifically with Democracy Rising, I would say I ask your listeners to engage with their local communities. Do you know your neighbors? Do you know their names? Do you know what they care about? When was the last time that you had sort of like a neighborhood or like at a local school level conversation with those people that you live around? Do you know who in your community is undocumented? And do you have a plan to keep them protected? Like, this is really the time to, like, to Mathoni's point, get out of your house, get off your couch, go talk to your people in your community, go talk to your school board members, go talk to your city council members, get to know them, figure out what support they need. It is really up to us, and it's us. We are the ones we've been waiting for, right? Get out of your house, go talk to your people, start practicing democracy in your own immediate community. That is my number one ask for your listeners.
And Mathoni, what about you?
Yeah. So I go back to asking for folks to remember that there is a beauty in the community that is out here that will also be organizing and starting, I hope, to stand up and beside these elected women of color who will truly be at the front lines. Many of them have re-elections. Figure out what is happening at the state and local level in your community. You have an extraordinary community, Mark. So I'm not worried that these are folks that are not paying attention to their local politics. But in case you haven't started paying attention to 2025, because 24 was just so, it was a big year, and coming out of presidentials, we're still a little tired sometimes. And so now starting to focus on your mayors and your city councils, your governors, like these folks are, they were there before. They are here again. They have the levers to be able to enact certain protections. I'm working with the Vera Institute of Justice. They are going to be, they have a huge justice table that is organizing around legal defense, even for around this attempted deportation. Like, we are not laying down over this. This is a large country with a lot of folks who really will fight till the end. And so, and I know that your listeners are those folks. So I know they will get up and out. I just want to implore them, look at the election calendar now and know what elections are taking place. Go and volunteer with folks and show up. We need you. And please do support the Women's Democracy Lab. Come and see our work. Send your elected women of color. I know many of you are connected to them. Let them know we exist as a support community for them. Women'sDemocracyLab.org. Thank you.
Now, just before I said we go, but one more thing. You had alluded, Mathoni, to something a little while ago. I meant to raise it then. Mm-hmm. About our elected officials and how they're saying they're there. They need support. We don't need folk just sitting. Mm-hmm. Now, because there is, quite frankly, this conversation going on, particularly on social media, which is a whole nother thing about what social media is doing to us and dividing us. But, you know, there seems to be this meme developing that as Black women, as women of color, we've done enough. We've carried enough on our shoulders. Don't ask us to do nothing else. We don't want to do anything else. We're done. We're tired. And I've had some women leaders that you and I know together, mutually, who have said to me on the phone, Mark, don't ask me to do nothing else. I'm not doing nothing. We did all we could. We burned out. That's not. You kind of mentioned how the elected officials don't want to be left abandoned, but that's not the attitude to have, is it? I mean, I know people have been through it, but we can't stop.
I don't think that they ultimately mean they are stopping. I think they meant not it right now. And I said that to someone last night about why, whether or not, you know, watching the inauguration, whether people were doing that or not. I said, this is why we have a village. Sometimes it's somebody's opportunity to sit down and somebody else needs to do the walking. And so I think that the 92% said, I need to sit down right now. You don't even want me in this condition. You don't want this. And when I had a colleague of mine looking at the audit of, you know, kind of what's been was spent in the election and, you know, who's doing all of this work. And she commented, apparently Black women were expected to work for free. Because when you look at the spending in this election and you look at how much organizing was taking place, not even close to equity, not even close. Yeah. And still did it. So I welcome that sit down and rest. I know there are so many other feet that can step forward. And I know that it's not all Black women that are doing it and not everybody needed it for the same length of time. So I think that as we are, again, kind of coming past into, we're in January, moving into February, I have real optimism that our folks will begin to tap back in. I want them to remember the communities that they were enjoying before, figure out those spaces and bring them with you. We have mayors, we have city councils, we have governors who actually still have power. We are not in a kingdom. And so while there is the opportunity for a lot of power to be centralized, though, that is true. But there are other levers. And remember, when they found those levers, this is how conservatives made their way back. They made their way back by taking over a decade to rebuild their infrastructure at the state and local level and to start changing laws at that level, which allowed them to have the ability then to build on top of that their way back into majorities on the federal level. And so while we may not have that sort of same opportunity for process, there is a lot that we can still do. The worst thing we can do is think that we can't do anything.
Amen.
And Mark, I may add just one thing to your question just now. Like, I think we're tired. I think we're done being asked to save this thing that is rotten to the core and unsalvageable. Like, to me, that is it, right? Like, please don't ask me to save this ugly thing. Like, it doesn't work. Right. There's nothing to be saved, really. We need to build something that actually is inclusive and that can actually create the opportunity for everybody to thrive. We the people, right? So I think we're tired of being asked to save this house that was not built for us, does not belong to us, and where we're not welcome. That's the part I feel like we're done. We're going
right.
to do our thing
but
now.
But the design can happen at the state and local level. Your mayors have the ability to operate differently than the president and
correct.
Even the governors. And so taking that smaller lens and seeing where we can start to actually create the design for what we know we want to see working that is more inclusive, that's the power of starting more local, closer to home, and with folks and with neighbors and people that you know and with whom you all have a shared set of values.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, you know, I always like to remind everyone, all politics is local. School boards, school systems, police accountability. That doesn't happen at the White House. Mm-hmm. Election boards, redistricting, polling, all of that is at the local level.
Yes.
So, folks, we've got to get into it and get involved. And these are two organizations who are doing that and leading us in that direction. We invite you, ladies and gentlemen, to go to wearedemocracyrising.org, get involved, go to womensdemocracylab.org and get involved as well. I believe too, Muthona, you all produced an impact film as well. Is that on the website?
We did, and it hasn't been on the website because we have been using it as a tool.
Okay.
But be happy to share it with you. And if you wanted to convene a conversation around safety, would love to come back and do that.
Absolutely. Elected and Unsafe.
Yes.
The name of the film. So we'll have to get that and talk about that at the next time we're together.
Yes.
But folks, please, in words of James Brown, get up, get into it and get involved. And we are democracyrising.org, womensdemocracylab.org. Maria, you remind me of Dr. King when he said there's no point integrating into a burning house.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the opportunity to think about those things very, very carefully, y'all, because this is buck wild and it's going to get even wilder. Let us not be discouraged. Let us not give up hope. Our ancestors never did. And some of us have changed lanes sometimes. Some of us may need to rest for a moment while others step up. And if you've been resting and being a spectator, maybe it's time for you to step up, sister, brother, wherever you might be, as others have been standing as well. And we can go back and forth in that way. I want to thank Maria Perez of Democracy Rising and Muthoni Wambu-Kral of Women's Democracy Lab. Please visit their sites. Please get involved. Follow them on social media. God bless you both. And thank you for joining me on Make It Plain.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.